Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome on into our Friday, January 17th edition of Sports Talk, a pre-Snowmageddon edition here with Steve Geller, Long, and Jeff Nowak. And we're going to be breaking down a bunch of playoff football, talking some head coaching searches for the Saints, and Pelicans basketball tonight, too, back in the Smoothie King Center. And I don't know if you guys saw, Zion Williamson has trimmed down the beard. He's now got he's sporting the goatee. So we'll see if that helps him stay on the court a little bit
Maybe
longer.
Maybe that's the secret. Maybe that's, the secret to his health. It's less visual.
I also trimmed
down the beard. So, I timed it weird because, my wife was like, why did you cut your gigantic lumberjack beard
when it's about to get colder, right?
The frozen experience we're about to have. I'm like, I was in Green Bay on December 24th. Like, this is not that.
Yeah.
He's like, it's going to snow. I'm like, it's not. You might see, like, frozen stuff. Like, it's going to be gone by noon. Okay, I grew up in the north. Anyway.
Right, we're a little more accustomed to it, being Northeasterners originally. The damn Yankees that we are.
Well, it's funny, because I don't go out when it's like that, when it's icy and snowing. But I know how to drive in ice and but, snow. I just don't trust anyone else to do it around me.
That's so. Daily, though, without snow or not.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
So we got at least a lot of exciting playoff action. We're down to the final 8 teams in the NFL. And man, oh man, each matchup has its own interesting twist in it, I think. The 5 o'clock hour, we're going to talk with Bills beat writer Jay Skorsky, who is covering the Bills-Ravens game. Also, we know the Saints have interest in Buffalo's OC, Joe Brady. We'll talk to him about that. And at 6 o'clock hour, Will Birchfield, who covers the Lions for 97.1, the ticket in Detroit. Get a preview of that Lions versus Commanders matchup and some insights that he has on defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn, who has already talked to the Saints on a virtual interview. We know a lot, though, I would say, about Glenn and the person that he is, since he spent a ton of time here in Sean Payton and Dennis Allen's staff.
Yeah, but I think, one of the reasons, it's funny because, yes, the Saints know Aaron Glenn very well, of course, implicitly. He spent so much time here. He was here as a player. But I think the most important part of his coaching tenure is probably what happened in Detroit, right? Like when you're bringing him in for this head coaching job, what happened in Detroit over the last several years is the sales pitch, not, well, he was here previously, right? It's how do you build that same type of culture that they have over there? And, while the numbers for the Lions this year are not going to blow you off the page, right? Like, they've been dealing with incredible amounts of injuries. It's the belief that they have on the defensive side of the ball that you're going to win anyway, right? Because I don't think that belief existed for the Saints this year. Like, you could compare the Lions and the Saints from an injury perspective this year. They are similar. Like, the Lions got beset left and right by injuries. They still managed to get to the number one seed and get a bye week. David Montgomery, I didn't think he was going to – I mean, I thought his season was over. Suddenly he's back, right? Like, he's going to play again. So, I don't know. Like,
when things are going your way, they just go your way.
No, but I mean, like, that's what the Saints used to be like. No, I'm serious. Like, I remember when Breeze was here and it was like, yeah, injuries, whatever, but, we'll figure it out. You know, there was that year that Breeze, I mean, like 2019 to 2020, like Breeze missed 4 to 5 games every year. They won a majority of those games, right? They went 7-1 in those games.
Right, between Teddy Bridgewater, Taysom Hill.
Yeah, I mean, like you found a way, right? Like you had the culture and the belief that we're going to figure it out. Like when you say next man up, that's what they mean. Everyone says it, but not a lot of teams actually do it. A lot of teams are saying, oh, we don't want to use it as an excuse, but then it's like, yeah, but we had so many injuries we couldn't win. Well, it's like the Lions have a lot of injuries. Other than the quarterback, you can compare their level of injuries, the Lions and the Saints. And the Lions didn't let it slow them down. The Saints did. And so that's that structure, that belief that's like, okay, we can't do this on defense. We're going to have to do something else. We can't cover. We're going to get after the quarterback, right? Like, you find ways. And that's the type of thing that's going to endear you as a head coaching candidate. And it's really just going to be a question of whether he wants the Saints or not, I think.
Yeah, and I know there was a tweet from, I forget who it was, that Aaron Glenn's preferred destination was the New York Jets. I don't know how much stock I take into that, though.
Yeah, it's so early in the process. Everyone's, you know, like who are you? Unless you're sourcing that to Aaron Glenn himself.
Right.
It's all just conjecture, and someone had an off conversation with somebody, and maybe his preferred destination is the Jets. I don't know. But at this point, you know, he's worried about the NFC Championship or, you know, getting to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we kind of talked a little bit about that through text. It's really an odd time for coaches to be having to do interviews when they're trying to prepare for a playoff matchup, do or die, win or go home kind of situation, and you're being tasked with, oh, well, I'm going to take time to do a virtual interview while I'm trying to game plan for whatever matchup we have ahead of us.
Right, like Joe Brady's going to interview with the Saints, and it's like, shouldn't you be worried about the Bills right now? I mean, shouldn't you be worried about the Ravens right now? Yeah. Right, like you got a pretty big game coming up. But I do think these virtual interviews, you know, it's a lot more boilerplate stuff. I think that virtual interviews, the onus is on the teams to kind of do that fact-finding, and the coach is really just going to kind of show up and
here I am
and answer questions, right? Whereas the in-person interviews, those are a lot more intensive on the coach's side. Like, they have to come down here. They spend, you know, you're talking these virtual interviews, they have to max out at 3 hours. Those in-person interviews, that's a whole day.
Yeah.
And you're meeting with, you know, all these people. You're having serious questions. They expect you to know about the roster. They expect you to have a plan. So those are different, but I do find it weird too. Like, if I'm a Bills fan, I'm sitting there like, hey Joe, can you be here? Cause this is important. You know, I get it. You might be a head coach next year, but we could win a Super Bowl this year. So maybe, I don't know, keep your eyes on the page.
That's why I will say I respect what Cliff Kingsbury did in saying that he's not going to do anything until after the season. His season could end this weekend, but Kingsbury putting that kind of on the back burner and focused on the now.
He's also in an advantageous position of, like, he's already been a head coach before, so it's not his, you know, like, I think it's different when you're doing it for the first time versus, you know, I don't think he would leave for a head coaching job anyway unless it was a great situation, because he's in a great situation right now.
With the great young talent, and it's right. Like, well, what can we do together? It's right. Just beginning.
And when you're talking about a second head coaching opportunity, I don't think you want to get into it unless it's the perfect scenario. And he kind of alluded to that. He was like, it would take me a lot to leave Jaden Daniels and go somewhere else where it's like, yeah, let's see if we can figure this out. You know, I don't think you're going to want to do a rescue project if you're Cliff Kingsbury in your second stint.
That's why early on in this whole process, Kingsbury to me seemed like, well, if he wants to be a head coach, the Chicago Bears have that young quarterback there and a bunch of weapons, and they're building something, and he could come in right away and seemingly maybe do the same things he did with Jaden Daniels to Caleb Williams. But that's, you know, a huge question mark still going there. But that seems like an ideal situation for him.
I think the Bears want McCarthy.
Sending the private plane sent a huge message, I felt, too.
Yeah, and I think Mike McCarthy should want the Bears, because that would be a pretty good... You know, Mike McCarthy, he's had a lot of success. What you can also say is everywhere he showed up, that guy was there. The quarterback was there. He got to Green Bay, and it was Brett Favre and this little guy named Aaron Rodgers hanging out behind him. Like, I think I got a chance. He goes to the Cowboys, and it's Dak Prescott. And it's not even like, oh, we're developing Dak Prescott. It's like, hey, I am the MVP candidate Dak Prescott here for you right now. The only issue is he's got hurt in year one and year five. And then if you go to Chicago and you get Caleb Williams, your number one pick in the draft, like, yeah, he's pretty good. Not a terrible option. So I actually think if I was handicapping spots, if Mike McCarthy ends up coaching this year, I would imagine he's in Chicago. And I think that kind of, once you take Chicago off the board, it gets a lot more interesting. because the Patriots are gone. All that cap space is gone.
Sure.
The Bears are gone. Caleb Williams and all that cap space. And then you're talking about, like, okay, yeah, the Raiders have a ton of cap space, but look at that situation. Look at that offense. And, you know, the coach, a front office that's fired a head coach in back-to-back seasons.
I feel like everybody's turned a little, though, their feelings on the Raiders because now Tom Brady's involved.
I mean, that helps. You know, that's, you know, when you talk about, someone representing your organization and you can kind of like, hey, you want to come hang out with Tom Brady, go golfing? That's not a terrible sales pitch. Now, I mean, that's probably the next attractive opening, right? But even then, it's not the situation where you have a quarterback. You just have a ton of cap space and a high draft pick. So you got to get that right.
Jaguars to me is interesting. I know they've been mired in, you know, misery over there, and it's questionable with the general manager that they have in place too.
And who wants to go live in Jacksonville? Let's be real. I've been to Jacksonville.
You have the young quarterback though, and you know, a high draft pick.
Yeah, a quarterback that 3 years ago was like, this is the guy. Now he's just a highly paid average Joe with really nice hair.
Potential.
Yeah, you got Fabio over there throwing passes. Like, he's got the contract. I just haven't seen the quarterback.
We're taking a break here on Sports Talk. Why don't you sound off with us, 504-260-1870. Getting ready for Pelicans basketball as well. That'll be a 7 o'clock tip-off in the Smoothie King Center that you can hear on the Big 870 AM, taking on the Utah Jazz this evening. We'll take a break, come back with your calls and more right here on Sports Talk, so stay tuned on WWL.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV Plus, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. You can sound off on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Join the conversation with me, Jeff, and Charlie, 504-260-1870. Heading to the break, mentioned the Pels playing tonight, a 7 o'clock tip-off here on the big 870 AM, taking on the Utah Jazz in a kind of a interesting series, I guess you would say, matchup. We got a game tonight and then again on Monday against the same team.
We got another Pelicans, Wizards, like, hey, these two worst teams in the NBA going at it. Let's see who's actually the worst. But now, I actually think, you know, the frustrating thing about the Pelicans is they're not a bad basketball team.
No, like, that's amazing what happens when you get healthy.
That's my hot take, is the Pelicans aren't a bad basketball team. They just, through a confluence of events that they had no control over, or at least you could say whatever control they had over, they did not exercise it very well. This is a good basketball team that happens to be 10-32. And you watch him play, and you're like, that's a good player. Trey Murphy's a good player. Brandon Ingram's a good player. He's just not playing. Zion Williamson's a good player. Like, you have depth. You have quality players. This should be a 500 basketball team at worst. And, you know, when they're playing with energy. They're playing with effort. Like, it's not a fact of, like, hey, you know, they don't care, you know. And so I fully expect the team to win just enough games over the rest of the season to ruin any hopes that you had of, like, a top five pick.
Exactly.
But, you know, and like, I fully expect them to win both these games against the Jazz, right? Like, I think they're going to win a bunch of these games. They're going to end up, you know, what do they have, 10 wins now? I'd be surprised if they don't get to, like, 25 wins by the end of the season. It's just frustrating because, like, going the first game of the year, I remember tweeting, like, this team has a chance to be pretty good. And then everything went off the rails, but
sounds familiar, like another team we know that plays in the Superdome.
No, well, that's the thing. Like, the Saints, I feel like they could have been decent. I don't think that they were ever going to be a playoff contender. Like, maybe they sneak in, but they would have been, hey, wild card weekend. No one's paying attention to that game. It's, you know, not close. Whereas, like, the Pelicans, I felt like we're on a pretty good trajectory with in terms of, like, the roster construction is good. Especially, like, Eve has, like, kind of been a revelation. Bobby Marks was talking about this yesterday, and I agree with him. Like, you know, you look at Memphis last year, and it was kind of their tune-up season. Ja Morant wasn't there. You knew you really didn't have a chance. But they found out about a lot of role players, key players, like guys like Brandon Boston. You know, he's going to be a role player for this team going forward. I don't know. You got to take the positives for it. I'm just watching the rest of the season being like, hey, if it's a watchable game after the third quarter, I win. That's a win for me. It's all entertainment.
Injuries were definitely a problem with this team. So many big names for this squad that were key pieces. One of those guys, Jose Alvarado, he is back in the mix, thankfully. And they've been winning basketball games to start the new year. At shoot-around this morning, Alvarado talked to the media, and here's what he had to say leading up to this game against the Jazz.
You came in the league at the same time as Trey Murphy. What do you think of just the progress that he's made this year, the jump that he's made overall?
Not surprising. I mean, they obviously saw that when they drafted him. But just being in the gym and with him every day, just his mindset of trying to get better. I mean, I don't know if he was going to be mad if I say this or not, but he told me in the bus, thinking Chicago, that he going to be wherever the All-Star. What's the All-Star game next year?
I'm not sure next year.
Yeah, but he said he'll be in it next year. Like literally speaking, before all this came out, all that, this is what's his mindset. So, you know, and I believe him. You know, I just see his work, his mindset, and how he attacks this game. And outside of just, you know, playing really well, he attacks it in practice, his work, and he's very consistent. So, you know, yeah, I'm not surprised.
What do you think about the impact that the bench has made? I mean, obviously, since you came back, teams winning a lot more games. It seems like you guys have a good chemistry off the bench, you and Tice in particular. I mean, what do you think about the way you guys are producing lately?
Man, we're doing what we need supposed to do. You know, obviously, you know, it took us time, but we just healthy. You know, this bench is just a team that want to win every minute that we get, and we know it could be 10 minutes, 5 minutes, you know, 2 minutes, or 20 minutes, but we're going to attack it as, you know, like it's the finals, and we just keep going on playing and improving.
What have you liked about the defensive effort that you've seen from the team? A lot of guys seem like they're stepping up on that end.
I mean, we just knew that that's going to win us game, at least keep us in the game. We know offensively we're so talented, anybody could get a bucket, but we knew defensively it's just – we had to step it up. And, you know, teams was coming in here and scoring a lot of points and scoring us, like, easy. So we knew that we had to take it personal. It was no schemes. It was just more of a pride thing, and now we there.
When DeJounte Murray was, when they traded for him, when he talked, I think, all offseason about how much he respects the way that you approach the game and stuff like that. Having played against him a few times the last few years, what do you think about just the way that he's played lately? It seems like he's the player that we've seen throughout his career.
I mean, yeah, he's in his own. You know, it's just he's just a true professional, a great person. And, you know, like he said, you know, he's going through stuff outside of the court, and he's handling it like a trooper. You know, he's giving his all, and he's here with us. And he always said that he want to make sure that he knows that, you know, I'm here with y'all, and y'all my brothers, and, you know, he stands on that. You know, I hope everything works out off the court with him. But, you know, basketball, he's doing really well, but it's bigger than basketball. But he's maintaining, he's being a true leader.
You're shooting 40% from three this season. I know it's been, you know, time where you were out and then you came back and stuff like that, but are you happy with the way that your shot has been this year? You feel like you're taking another jump this year in terms of your three-point shot?
Of course, yeah. They said they needed a little, you know, shooters on the team, so I came in here and worked out and kept on. I knew I was a confident shooter, you know. Like I said, they need shooters next to Z, Trey, B.I., you know, they need some guys that are going to make shots, and I mean, you can count on me, you know, big shots, you know, just hitting shots here and there. But I worked on that a lot this summer.
What's the trick to, you have games where you maybe take one or two shots in the first three quarters, and then the fourth quarter, you're making like three or four threes. It seems like you've done that a few times in your career here. Like, what? How do you do that?
Just my mindset. I want the big shots. You know, I mean, like I said, I just play my role at I play at a high level, I think. But it's just more the fourth quarter come, put me in. You know, I'm with all the smoke. You know, even though, like I said, role players or not, I think I feel like I'm confident in my work. And those shots is the actually most easier shot for me. You know, I'd rather shoot those shots than wide open or first quarter shots, if that's in my opinion.
That's Jose Alvarado for the Pelicans. And looking at this matchup, Pels versus the Utah Jazz tonight, Utah is not going to have six players available for them this evening. So they're dealing with a bunch of injuries as well. And it seems like the tank is in full effect for the Jazz right now.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, you're going to see teams over the second half of the season that do go in the tank, right? And I don't know whether, I haven't watched a Jazz play. I'm not going to pretend to know the situation around the Jazz. But this is kind of the season everyone thought they were going to have last year. And they kind of performed above expectations last year. What I can say is, the Pelicans are not going to tank, right? Like, they're going to go out there and they're going to try to win. And, you know, do they have the pieces? I don't know. But Trey Murphy, man, you know, 51 consecutive free throws. That's quite a number. You know, if he was, I don't think he qualifies right now because he missed a bunch of games. He'll qualify eventually. Pretty sure he would be leading the NBA in free throw percentage, which I think he was like 81% last year. That's a pretty steep jump. You know, and I don't think you're going to shoot 95% free throws for the entire season, but he's currently the Pelicans franchise record holder for consecutive free throws made. He'd need to get to about 93, I think, to set any NBA records.
I was going
to
say, do you know who that is offhand?
I looked it up the other day. It's in the 90s. Steph Curry is the most recent guy to get up high, but let's see. I'll look it up.
Yeah, I know he took the record from the Pelicans. Ryan Anderson had it when he was here. And good to see Trey's evolution in a uniform. What was that, Charlie? Sorry.
There you go.
Michael Williams. Okay.
Yeah, it's quite a lot. It's quite a lot. 97.
Looking at this matchup against the Jazz tonight, you want to see some more growth from the Pelicans. They haven't had a three-game win streak this entire season. And
that's not good.
No, I mean,
you have to have three-game win streaks to have a good NBA season. I've always said that.
A lot of folks are talking about, oh, they don't want this team to perform well to keep the tank on and, you know, better your lottery, you know, status. But it's something positive for this season because we just went through a heck of a Saints year, and the way this Pelicans team was going into the new year, it looked like some more misery along the way. So we've won five out of eight the last, you know, times out. So hopefully this continues a positive trend. I'm not saying they're going to make the play-in even, but to at least have entertaining and competitive basketball.
There it is. I just want something to watch.
Yeah.
I get bored. Like, I want to watch an NBA team, and if they're at least playing competitive basketball, that's entertaining to me. They're not going to be in the playoffs, whatever. I just want to watch the games, man. And they were unwatchable for a good 2 months there.
Well, it was like a G League player.
Exactly. I don't even know if you could call it a G League. I mean, there were players that were thrown on the court that I'd never even heard of. I watch college basketball a lot. I'm a UConn basketball fan, so I pay attention. I don't even know who Trey Jemison is. Never heard of the guy. But he's out there getting real minutes. But just going back to Trey, you know, one of the things that I think is kind of the evolution in his game is, like, obviously the shooting is great and the athleticism is there. You get those transition dunks. But getting to the free throw line is something he has done a lot more lately. And getting to the free throw line is a mindset. You know, it's not just luck. Like, certain guys shoot a lot of free throws, and it's how you play. He's thrown 20 free throws over the last two games. In their last, seven games, he has five games with at least five free throws. Now, he's made all of them, so that's helpful. But he was 7-for-7 against the Heat, 5-for-5 against the Wizards, 5-for-5 against the Celtics, 12-for-12 against the Bulls, and then 8-for-8 against the Mavericks. He also had a game against Memphis, his last miss. He was 10-for-11 at the free throw line. So especially when you don't have Zion out there, obviously Zion's going to draw a lot of attention. He's going to get to the free throw line a lot. You know, you need someone else to take that driving load off of him. You don't have Brandon Ingram. He was going to be that other ISO guy. You could just throw him the ball. Trey is kind of becoming that ISO guy that you can trust either make a shot, create a shot, or go to the rim and make something happen. It's, you know, when you watch Jason Tatum play, I think if I'm Trey, I'm trying to model my game after Jason Tatum. Very similar players, long, but 6'8", can dunk, can get up and down the floor, can shoot. That's who I want to model my game after. And I do think as he's improving, you're seeing him play a lot more like Jason Tatum.
You see the injury report for the Pels. Eve Missy will be out this evening. He's dealing with an illness. And I guess the way we are in the sports world now, every time that you mention a player has an illness, it's got to be designated a non-COVID-related illness.
Really? They're still doing that?
Yeah, still doing that.
I didn't even know they still did that. I feel like no one even pays attention to that anymore. They're just, I mean, you hear like guys.
I saw that. I was like, really? We have to say that?
I guess. I mean, I think it's more for the teams now. It's like, guys, just
don't worry.
So you know.
It's not COVID.
He got food poisoning or something, you know. But it's always funny to me with NFL teams, and obviously we dealt with this all season. It's like, you see a guy show up on the injury report on Wednesday, and you're like, oh no, I wasn't at practice. And I'm like, illness. Like, oh, he's fine. I'm like, he could be, like, fighting for his life in the, over the toilet right now. You don't know.
It's just an illness.
Yeah, he's. You know, but hey, you know, he'll be out there. But it's harder in the NBA, right? Because you play more often and it comes up. That's a bummer because Eve has been one of the high points of the season.
For sure.
Me. He's just you watch him and you see like a young Clint Capella out there. Like that's who I kind of comped him to prior to the season, saying like, hey, if he can be a Clint Capella, that's a steal. And that's kind of who you see. And I think he's a better free throw shooter than Clint. And that's what held Clint back a little bit early in his career, because you couldn't put him out there because in clutch moments because they were going to go after him. I think that there's pieces for this team. That's why it's frustrating. And everyone's at the end of the year is going to be like, hey, let's tear it down. Let's fire the coach. Let's start from scratch. I don't think you need to.
Poor Willie was catching those, that heat, and it was like, what's the guy playing with right now?
Yeah, well, it's always going to fall on the coach, but it's just that like instant gratification thing. You cannot have a bad season, or fans will be calling for your head. One bad season, it's over. And you could say like, oh, they've had bad seasons. They won 47 games last year, 49 games last year. Like they've increased their win total in the first three seasons. Now you're having this crazy injury plagued season. Get rid of him. I don't know. I like Willie. I don't think Willie's going anywhere.
No, I don't think so either. And especially with, like we mentioned, the injuries you were dealing with, you got to give this vision, I guess, a chance. And it definitely hasn't been because of coaching that's been the Pelicans' problem.
Yeah, the question's going to be whether you want to keep making this ship out of Zion or you want to start from scratch in that
department.
That's
a great question, right?
Because it's just, as when Zion's out there, you're like, okay, he's a superstar. And we all agree he's a superstar. But if you can only get out there for a third of the games, it's not doing much for you.
Right, but is he playing games or does he want to really play and be here?
Nah, he's in shape. I'll give him that. Like, he does, like, he's in the best shape I've seen. He looks like Duke version of Zion. And I do give him a lot of credit because he missed a lot of games. It would have been really easy for him to come back after, 27 games out and look like a guy who'd just been, munching on chips on the couch. But he clearly stayed in shape. So I'll give him credit for that.
Someone just got to get him a new Apple Watch or something, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know why, but I'll give you that.
Well, you got to be on time for things.
That's true. Just have to be on time.
Taking a break. We'll be back with more sports talk right here on WWL after this. Back here on Sports Talk, and we got a little bit of breaking news. I don't know if you really want to call it that, though, Jeff. It might be a little too extreme, but the Saints have let it be known their interview with Darren Rizzi for the head coaching job was completed today.
Yes. Sure was. You know,
they didn't have to do a virtual interview with him, though.
No, it's kind of weird, obviously, because, you know, if you're under contract with another team, you can only do the virtual for the head coach until, you know, next week. But because Darren is on the Saints,
he just had to walk down the hall from his office.
It would have been funny if the NFL, like, is like, no, rules are rules. You have to do a virtual interview. Get on Zoom.
And he was in his office in the building, still have to do the Zoom call.
Well, that was kind of, you know, like, I don't know, Wednesdays, we would have a conference call with Sean Payton, and all the reporters were in the building talking to Sean on the other
in
side
his
of
office.
The building.
Yeah.
DA actually got rid of that, or Rizzi got rid of that. I don't know. They stopped doing that this year, which I appreciate it, because it was like, why are we doing this? This is dumb. But no, so Riz, it's going to be interesting to see how this all develops, right? Because I think the team really likes Darren Rizzi. I just don't see how you can, I don't know. It's a tough call to me of like.
And I'd hate to call him a fallback plan, but he is a guy that you know and you trust. But there are a slew of names out there. If you miss out on, he's a good fallback plan.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. You know, and the term I've been using is safety school. I don't want to call him a fallback. It's not fair to him.
Yeah.
It's not fair to him because I think he will be a good head coach. I think he will ultimately land a head coaching opportunity. I just don't know if it's going to be with the Saints this year. I have a hard time.
That's all right. I call Aaron Rodgers Brett Favre all the time.
You do. It's like a find and replace in your brain.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, it's the strangest thing. And every now and then you'll say it, and I won't even realize. I'm like, wait, why are we talking about Brett Favre? Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he's just mental.
You meant the other guy who played for the Packers and then the Jets. And then the Vikings, which is where Aaron Rodgers, I assume, is going to go play next year because that's the rule. That's the track you take as a Packers quarterback.
Well, then I'll really be messed up, so I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope for you, too, that comes true. But, yeah, so, you know, Riz, it's going to be a scenario that if you end up with Riz, people are going to tear the front office apart because it'll be viewed as,
Same old, same.
Well, not even that. It'll be viewed as you couldn't pull your top targets. That's what whether that's true or not, that'll be the narrative out there. That you wanted Aaron Glenn wanted the Jets. You wanted Joe Brady wanted something else. You wanted so and so, he wanted, and then he's like, all right, I guess we'll stick with Riz. You know, that's what it's gonna come off as. That's the optics that you will have to battle as a team if you land there. That doesn't mean it's the worst possible choice. It just means that you're gonna have to, you know, explain to people why you got there. And I don't know. Do you wanna lie? Do you want to go up there and say, like, no, who wanted Riz? You know, it's kind of like when you draft a player and like 17, you'd be like, guys, guess what? This is the guy we wanted the whole time.
Board, right?
He was number one. Like, no, you would say that about literally anyone you drafted. You're not going to go up and be like, yeah, you were our ninth choice, but you were there, and so you're here now, right? Like,
we sure are happy to have you, though.
Yeah. That's just not, no one says that. So
I did see what was interesting. We know that the New York Jets have interviewed Rizzi for their head coaching vacancy along with 50 other people, but I saw that the Denver Broncos have let go of their special teams coordinator.
Whoa.
I wonder if Sean Payton could come a calling for Rizzi if they decide to not, you know, retain him.
Well, I mean, this is the first step, is the coaching hires, right?
Yeah.
You know, we talked a little about this yesterday, and it's like, there's a second step, which is these coaches that leave their current spots, someone has to go fill those vacancies, right? Now, you don't hire Darren Rizzi. Does Darren Rizzi stay with the Saints, or does he say, I've been passed over twice for head coaching jobs. I'm going to go somewhere else.
Right.
Right? And you can't guarantee him a job, just like you can't guarantee Clint Kubiak a job. So whoever you hire comes in and says, I would rather have my own special teams coordinator, then he's out of a job anyway. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if Darren Rizzi goes and coaches the Broncos special teams, because that's obviously a connection there. I also wouldn't be surprised if wherever Aaron Glenn lands, a familiar name in Dennis Allen goes and fills that spot with the Lions. Because I don't know, if I'm Dan Campbell, like, I didn't know a defensive coordinator. He probably knows what we're doing here, you know? Anyway, it's just something to watch. I think who was it the DA interviewed with? Colts. He interviewed for their defensive coordinator opening. So he's going to be on the short list for a lot of these jobs. And it's just a question of what comes open.
I think you mentioned this yesterday. It was kind of funny, the fact with Dennis Allen, though, you know, if you're bringing him as your defensive coordinator, there's not any worry that someone's going to come a call in looking to steal him as their head coach.
Yeah, it's kind of mean, but it's true. Like, no, he's not getting a third head coaching opportunity. And that is the challenge that you face when you're a Dan Campbell and you're a vibes guy. You're not an offensive guy, not a defensive guy. You got to worry about your coordinators getting poached every year. And so I don't think that's the worst idea in the world of like, okay, so we like the defensive scheme we have here and we have a guy we can bring in who wants to run that same defensive scheme and I don't have to worry about him getting poached. Maybe that's the key.
The Saints also have an interview lined up tomorrow, I believe, is the report with Joe Brady, virtual interview. And then the next day, the Bills get a big matchup against the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
You know, that's one I'm interested in, too. You know, right under Aaron Glenn for me would be a Joe Brady on my list. Intrigued on what he can bring to this offense. And then, you know, you mentioned it there, too. There would be no need to have a Clint Kubiak in-house then. Then you're trying to find your next defensive coordinator if you're bringing in a guy like Brady.
Yeah, you're finding a new offensive coordinator, but you're not, you know, tasking him with that kind of I don't know. Would Joe Brady call plays? It's tough to say. Like some head coaches want to do that. Sometimes they want to do that and it doesn't work out and you end up, you know, Nick Sirianni
like
and Kellen Moore situation. I don't know. We've never seen him do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's a much more difficult scenario than a lot of people give it credit for. Like, you're a head coach. You got a lot going on. And then you're calling plays. Like, that takes a lot of your attention away from the kind of head coach game managing duties that you have to deal with. So I don't know. But one way or another, I like the idea of having an offensive head coach. I think that was a pretty important part of why the Sean Payton scheme situation worked as well as it did. Because that's the way, man. That's how you want to do it.
NFL playoff excitement starts tomorrow, 3 o'clock right here on WWL. Chiefs taking on the Texans in Kansas City. Kickoff at 3:30. Then it's Jaden Daniels and the Commanders at the Detroit Lions at 7 p.m. Sunday. Coverage will start 1 o'clock with the Eagles hosting the Rams. Kickoff at 2, followed by the Ravens at the Bills. Kickoff 5:45 in that one. Take the games wherever you go. They'll be right here on WWL Radio and the free Odyssey app. Your home for NFL football and Super Bowl 59. Coming back with more sports talk after the break here on WWL. We here at WWL want to remind everybody now is the time to prepare for the winter weather. A strong Arctic front will swing through the greater New Orleans area next week. Meteorologists forecast bitter cold and likelihood of several mornings of below freezing and freezing temperatures on the North Shore and freezing temps on the South Shores. That would impact people, plants, and pipes. We're looking to the possibility of snow or a wintry mix of rain, sleet, and snow. Fun stuff on Tuesday. That could lead to icy roads and bridges and impact travel. It could also cause power outages and affect schools, works, and our homes. You can stay connected to WWL as we watch the approaching winter storm. Stay tuned on air and check it online on our socials for the latest.
Steve, do you have a sweater for the dog?
I do, actually. Yeah, a Christmas sweater, at least. I can break it out and put it on him again.
Yeah, I have a Christmas sweater for my dog, too. It's like a Mrs. Claus outfit.
You need it for family photos, right?
Yeah. It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
We'll take a break, and coming back next hour, we'll talk to Bills beat writer for the Buffalo News, Jay Skursky, talking about that Ravens-Buffalo matchup. Also, the Saints' interest in offensive coordinator Joe Brady. Taking a break and be back with more sports talk. Stay tuned after the news, after this on WWL.